"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
And 15 minutes, the final keyword of the day here on KFI. So be listening, and more importantly, be listening for the instructions so you know what to do with that keyword. You can't eat it. You have to send it somewhere in order to possibly win the inflation bonus cash. Well, Deborah, Mark, there's been a rush of people being killed by dogs. I don't like this. This is the fourth story I've read in the last month. Apparently, an Amazon driver's body was found in someone's yard in Missouri. He got mauled by 2 dogs while delivering a package.
Pit bulls?
Do you see that woman in Tennessee that was trying to save her kids from being mauled by a dog, and she got all chewed up too, and they were killed?
No, I didn't see that.
That happened like a few weeks ago. Yeah, it was a mother in Tennessee.
There's got to be pit bulls involved.
Yeah. Does it say in the story what they are?
Yeah. It's not a poodle or a beagle.
No. Or a Westie mix of like my dog.
Oh, it's a German Shepherd and an English Mastiff.
Oh.
They can be criminals, too.
They ran into the house. They became aggressive. The deputies came along with medical staff. They shot and killed them. They're killer dogs.
I know. I do.
Boy,
look.
You're 0-for-3 on the ethical questions today.
Really? There should be no for killing dogs
that
kill people.
Let me be clear. I get it. I feel bad for the dogs because
your initial reaction is the truth. You went, oh.
Well, yeah. I feel bad for the dogs. Obviously,
no,
I feel worse.
No, they're killers. They're evil just like people are evil.
Driver. I do. But why are these dogs, seriously, people are training these dogs to be killers. I can't imagine. My dogs are the sweetest dogs. I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to kill anybody.
Well, it's a dangerous world. It's for security.
Well,
you know what?
John will tell you.
Can you imagine the kind of juror she would be? If we were on a jury with her.
I would jump out the window.
We would be voting for the death penalty. She'd tie us up for 3.5 weeks.
Male English Mastiffs can get up to 230 pounds. That's like 4 Debras.
Wow. I suddenly pictured her with like 4 heads jumping.
It's a very sad story. And
it
I'm not happy that this Amazon delivery driver was killed.
All right.
Before anybody writes me about that.
That's right. You Amazon drivers driving around all day listening to us. Now you know how she feels.
We were just talking about Jeffrey Dahmer. There's quite a story breaking tonight out of Iowa. We have a woman who is accusing her dead father of being a serial killer, killing as many as 70 women. And apparently, she says, forcing her and her siblings to dump their bodies in a 100-foot well. Local sheriffs believe her story. And they've actually already uncovered what appears to be some remains on the 5-acre farmland property. He died in 2013. And her story is that we felt that he would kill us too if we did not help him dump these women into the well. Apparently what they did next is they poured like chemicals and acid to try to dissolve the bodies.
She's part of the crime here.
Well, she was a child.
Okay. Let me ask you. Your dad comes home from work, right? He worked for the city. Comes home from work, and he tells you, it's like, Ken, he calls your brothers over. I killed a girl today. She's in the trunk of the car. I want you to help me take this this dead girl out and dump her in the well, the backyard. Let's do it now before mom comes home. And I want you to pour acid. How many times does he get you to do this?
If I'm 8 years old, I don't know.
If you're 8 years old, do you think you would have done it?
I don't know.
Now I'm worried.
Children are often under the spell of their parents. The parents are the ultimate authority.
Oh, no way.
Maybe it was wrapped up in a blanket and didn't know what it was.
Yes, I don't understand that.
She said, every time I went to the well or into the hills, I didn't think I'd be coming back. I thought he was going to kill me because I wouldn't keep my mouth shut. That's just a survival instinct, John.
No, running away is a survival instinct.
But where do you go? You're on a farm in the middle of nowhere.
You disappear. You run. You get to the police.
They had to pile dirt and chemical lye on top of the bodies.
I wouldn't be there. Come on.
Well, they haven't officially discovered remains, but they are going to search the property to see if her story pans out. What's weird about this guy is apparently he was married, but one of his wives allegedly strangled herself.
Oh, did the Epstein, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, so they're looking into the story. We'll keep an eye on it.
Sex workers and transients.
Donald Dean Studi. Yeah, allegedly that's who he brought home to a trailer. This is where he killed them.
And he claims,
sex workers and transients, right?
She claims she told teachers and priests and law enforcement officers across Iowa and Nebraska, but nobody would listen to her.
Now suddenly they are.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Well, they're believing her right now, and they are suspicious enough, and they got cadaver dogs looking on the property. We'll see if the story plays out, because apparently they have to bore a well in order to get down there.
Well, they should find
for
something.
For the area where allegedly...
They're getting hits from the search dogs.
Yeah, they're getting something.
Yeah.
All right, now we move over to the purple line. When Joe Biden was here a couple of weeks ago... One of the big stops he made besides buying tacos with Karen Bass, he went to John's West Side to check out the Purple Line extension. This is going to bring the subway from downtown LA all the way to the West Side to the West Los Angeles VA Medical Center. 9 miles. It's what they're trying to build, though, is the 2.6 mile phase of the Purple Line. And it's in the news now because they have halted construction. Dozens of workers have been injured in the last year. They've fallen off ladders, crushed fingers, slipped in mud, been struck by falling slurry, and hit in the face by a failed hose while trying to build this thing. And guess who the contractor is? The famous Tudor Perini. Wow, we know that name, don't we?
Weren't those...
That's high-speed rail.
High-speed rail. What is with this company?
That's what they specialize in, is rail and subway projects.
Yeah, what else do they specialize in?
They
They're not
going to continue until they come up with a plan to make it safer there, because they just decided, Metro decided, too many workers are getting hurt. And that's costly, too, workers' comp. And since July of last year, there have been 32 injuries inside and around the project. 13 required medical attention.
You know, you don't hear about injuries with high-speed rail because they've never built anything.
Yeah, it is funny. You don't hear about... Well, they're building the viaducts, right? Isn't that what they've been putting up?
Yeah, but not much else. This project has been tying up Wilshire Boulevard for quite a while. I've been avoiding Wilshire.
I've seen that. Yes, I have. You're right. I've noticed that, too. Yeah, they close lanes and...
Yeah.
It's difficult even to drive north-south through there past Wilshire.
Yeah, they have these high fences up to try to shroud the construction project that's going along
the edge.
It
says, inside the tunnel, ventilation is poor, standing water and muck are common, and ramps to and from the tunnels are unstable.
Wow. So they don't... you would think with all the OSHA-style bureaucracy that wouldn't happen even for a day.
Since construction started in 2018, there have been 43 injuries that needed medical attention. So they let it go on until this point where they thought it's enough and they're going to halt it. This is, of course, supposed to be completed by 2027. But we're still 5 years away from this,
well, this
extension
was,
being finished.
This was Garcetti's big lie. Because this was a tax, what was it, Measure M? It was a sales tax increase in L.A., and he sold it as relieving traffic, remember? Yeah. And then it turned out most of the money was going for this stupid, wasteful metro system, which, again, is just express trains and buses for vagrants, mental patients, and drug addicts. And I assume that's what's going to take most of these new trains on these new rail lines.
If it's going from downtown to the west side, that's going to be a vagrant express.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to want to get over to your neighborhood, John, and Panhandle.
Oh, there's neighborhoods in Santa Monica where they're furious with the Expo line.
Oh, the Expo line, yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's another mental patient express that brings homeless people into Santa Monica.
This will be like the poor Long Beach people with the blue line that drops them off.
No, I'm going to get a good laugh because all the good progressives on my side of town are probably very supportive of this mass transit project. You know, we need alternative ways. We can't all be driving cars on freeways all the time. And you just wait till the homeless come flying in by the hundreds and then squatting on your front lawn.
Well, the Koenig's suspension took place last week. It'll run through at least November 7th if the company can meet the demands for more safety from Metro. All right, when we return, the keyword. It's the word you need to possibly win some inflation bonus cash. John will give you the instructions as to how to have a chance at that money. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, some stuff from Hillary and Joe in a moment, but we got to play you what we found to be a funny piece of audio. Today, the Los Angeles City Council did meet in person again. They're going to try to do that the rest of the week and from now on, despite the protesters who don't want them to conduct any business unless De Leon and Cedillo resign. That's not happening. So we thought you'd enjoy an angry female because, listen carefully, they did take public comment, not only in person, but virtually. You could also make comments like they did last week with people either on the phone or online. This woman gets worked up and, she's thanked anyway at the end. Here we go.
You seriously need to rethink how you're treating Angelenos, especially those that have been unafraid to call City Hall out on its racist and hateful bullshit. If you think Hester pushing through topic reform is the way to keep your job, think again.
Speaker,
you need to listen to Angelenos
and you need
to make thoughtful reform. Stop sucking at the government seat and let their CDs be represented by someone that deserves the position. You. I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
What happened there was, when you heard that background noise, you can hear the protesters and then you can hear who's ever moderating this, trying to tell her to be different topic.
That noise was coming every time the official opened the mic.
That's right. That's why when I first heard the clip, I was like, what happened there? I think we have two sets of audio, but that's what happened. And she did use the old government teat, John. You like that
sucking
one.
At the government teat.
Teat. But we enjoyed the fact that after she gave the FU sign off, he said thank you.
Yeah, play the last line again. I love you.
Okay, thank you.
No, play the F.
You, I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, but sometimes we get that in the moist line. We thank everybody.
Sure.
Joe Biden. Oh, every day there's a piece of audio from Joe Biden. Do you remember when Joe Biden was introducing the Health and Human Services Secretary? You remember his name, John?
Javier Baccaria.
It was actually
rhymes with diarrhea.
Javier Baccaria.
There you go.
But congratulations to you. You didn't call him Xavier. You were refusing to call him Javier because it's an X.
There's an X there.
It's Javier Becerra. But all right, so he did it again today. There's a new prime minister for the British people, and Joe Mangles his name. Let's listen to this audio.
And whether it's the United Kingdom or just today, we've got news that Rashid Sunak is now the prime minister.
What's that?
As my brother would say, go figure. And the Conservative Party expected to become the prime minister, I think, tomorrow when he goes to see the king. Pretty astounding. A groundbreaking milestone, and it matters.
He
called him Rashu?
Yeah, it's Rishi. Rishi Sunak?
Rishi Sunak, I think.
Right, but you can get that part of the clip again because he says Rashu, you're right.
Rashu Sunak is now the prime minister.
Rashu Sunak.
Oh, well.
It's Rishi.
It's Rishi. Rishi.
Well, you tell Joe that. Rishi.
He called him Rashu.
Rishi.
Bless you.
I've heard it both ways.
Come on, man.
Every day.
What is he, of Indian descent, I believe?
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
He is.
Tech
genius. Suppose he has more money than the royals.
Yeah, and he earned his.
He worked for one of the big Wall Street firms, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know much about him. No. I mean, why were those people cheering anyway? What do they care? Were they British people? I didn't understand the excitement.
I think I think because the way Biden presented it is like, who knew it's not a white guy, I guess? They did something really different. It was like an advancement.
Really?
He's the first to not be white, isn't he, Prime Minister? Ever in the history of the UK. So well, I think that's another one of those little check marks.
None of that matters.
I know, but to Biden people?
They had a woman, she lasted 6 weeks. That was supposed to be a big deal. They had a female prime minister, and she stunk at her job. They kicked her out. So skin color and body parts have nothing to do with how good you are at a job. Nothing.
An amazing comment today. Hillary Clinton said that the right-wing extremists are going to steal the 2024 presidential election. It's remarkable in that all ever that side does is pick on Trump for the whole stolen 2020 election. She's getting out in front 2 years earlier and claiming that they've already worked on rigging it so they can steal the 2024 presidential election.
Well,
she goes on to explain that state legislatures have come up with rules so they can overturn the results in their state, and they'll be backed up by the right-wing controlled Supreme Court. That's her.
Look, anyway, she did that after Trump won. She said he was illegitimate and that the Russians had rigged the election. Remember?
Yes, she did.
So as much as Trump does it, and he's an idiot for doing it, she did it, and so do a lot of the Democrats. In fact, I don't know if you've been seeing or tracking this Arizona governor's race, Carrie Lake.
Carrie Lake is the Trump acolyte, right?
She was
a TV anchor or something.
Yeah, and she's really good public speaker.
Oh.
Because 23 years of TV training.
For some reason, the Johnny Ken Show gets her emails. I don't know why.
Well, it was a great clip I saw the other day because she's been railing about Trump and the election was stolen from Trump, and reporters giving her crap about that. And she goes, you know what I got here? I got 150 references here to Democrats claiming that elections were stolen from them. And she starts reading the list. She has this thick ream of paper.
Well, I know about Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams, yeah, has done that for 4 years. She claims the last election was stolen from her. And she claims this one is going to be stolen from her. And anyway, Carrie Lake is going through, and she goes, oh, look at this, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, here's the column. And she starts reading, and the reporters are just staring at her, dumbfounded. And she just kept going on, and until she basically said, you get the idea, you want me to keep going? This is what everybody's doing. Trump didn't start this. He didn't end it. He's just the one who's most persistent about it. But everybody's been yelling about stolen elections for much of this decade. That's the thing. And if they don't do that, they claim that that voter suppression laws have been passed. Remember Georgia? They pulled the All-Star game.
The All-Star game, right?
Right now, the turnout, just the mail turnout for the Georgia election, is beyond everybody's expectations. Record number of everybody: Republicans, Democrats, Blacks, Whites. Numbers are at their highest level anyone could have imagined with the so-called suppression laws in place. It is total bullcrap. It is absolute lies, absolute fiction that they push.
You didn't see that story that there are armed militiamen showing up at those ballot boxes to try to intimidate people away from voting by mail. I saw that in the story. The hyperbole on both sides. All right, when we come back, we're going to have a chance to talk to Erin Runyon again. The Joyful Child Foundation has got its 20th anniversary celebration this year, and she's going to talk about all they've done. It was her little daughter, Samantha, who was abducted and murdered over 20 years ago, and that put Erin on this path to create the Joyful Child Foundation, a wonderful nonprofit that does great things for children. We'll talk to her next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
20 years ago, we got involved with the Joyful Child Foundation, which was started by the mother of Samantha Runyon, Erin Runyon. Samantha was killed July 15, 2002, playing in the front yard with her
kidnapped.
Friend. Yeah. She was, a man approached them asking for help and finding a lost dog. And he grabbed Samantha, forced her into the car and drove away. And then she was found dead 50 miles away. At the very beginning, after that happened, I mean, we had Erin on a number of times on the show and helped to provide a lot of publicity for her. Samantha Runyon Foundation, and it's 20 years to the day since she
Joyful Child. It's
since
called.
You first started Joyful Child. Let's get Erin Runyon on. Erin, how are you?
Oh, hi. I am so good. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I don't think we've ever asked you the name Joyful Child. What's the origins of that?
Well, in the days right after Samantha's abduction, my family and I were talking about what we were going to do to honor her. And I just kept saying she was such a joyful child. And that became kind of what I wanted the focus to be about, protecting joy, not just focusing on the tragedy, but focusing on the joy of every child that we have a duty to protect. And that's where it came from. It just came to me.
That's a great name. It really sticks in your head.
I can't believe 20 years have gone by.
Right? It's amazing. The official IRS letter is stamped October 25th. And you all have been following us since the very beginning and really have done a beautiful, I'm so grateful for how you have shared.
Tell everybody
the story
what you,
as it has grown.
Yeah, so, tell everybody what the foundation has been able to do over the 20 years, because often tragedies happen, families start foundations, you never hear about it again, people wonder what became of the money. That everybody's running off with it, but sometimes it's not clear exactly what was accomplished. Why don't you talk about that?
Absolutely. No, thank you. So the Joyful Child Foundation has been researching and testing and developing and implementing prevention education programs for the last 20 years. I started totally focused on adult education, and we had a series of adult presentations that I gave hundreds of speeches a year at schools across Southern California, trying to empower parents to better protect their children, specifically around predatory crimes. And then I learned about what we can actually realistically teach young people. And the research shows that when you teach kids what they can realistically do, both physically and verbally, to avoid danger and get away from danger, they have a really good shot at getting away, because nobody targets a child thinking that they're going to have the stuff to fight them off. And so we developed what we call the BRAVE program, and we have a 10-lesson curriculum, and we do workshops through community partners that serve our highest-risk communities. And we reach about 25,000 children every year with the BRAVE program. And we've had lots of kids share that they have escaped abductions, assault, whether it's immediately after or years later. I had a server at a gala a few years ago come up to me and share that her daughter got away because of BRAVE, and I didn't even know about it. So it's very fulfilling, and it means the world to me. But our goal is for every child to be empowered with realistic skills and knowledge to keep themselves safe.
I know it's probably a detailed program that the kids get taught, but if you had to tell a parent listening now who has a young son or daughter, really young, what would you tell a five-year-old, or what should a parent tell a five-year-old that will give him at least, you know, a chance in the first few minutes, like the first reaction kind of advice?
Absolutely. That's a great question. The first defense is our voice. So making noise, and sometimes it's scary to even think about, but when we're in a state of fear, sometimes we don't even have a voice. So screaming and yelling, "I don't know you, get away from me, I don't know you," is really great. But if you have to throw things to make noise, to get attention, that is super effective. We teach children what we call torpedo eyes, and they bring the tips of their fingers together and they go straight for the eyes, because no matter how strong somebody is, if they're trying to take a child, they have to bend down to get them. And when they do that, a child can effectively torpedo their eyes repeatedly, and it's very hard to pick up a kid when you're getting poked in the eyes like that. So even though they're tiny and they may not have a lot of strength, there are skills that can shock someone enough that a child has the opportunity to run.
It must be a difficult balance to get through to children, the idea not to be frightened of everybody, but also understand danger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we really actually spend a lot of time with parents helping them understand why we don't teach stranger danger, because over 95% of all crimes against children are perpetrated by somebody the family knows and trusts. What happened to Samantha is literally less than 1% of all child abduction, much less the bigger picture of sexual abuse and trafficking.
Yeah.
So when we're trying to empower our kids, really what we need you to be doing is empowering them to tell us, as their parents and caring adults in their family, that it's okay for them to tell us, no matter who it is, if anyone makes them uncomfortable. That is the number one thing we can do for our children, is give them permission to tell you, even if it's somebody that you care about, and to believe them, and to promise that even if nothing else happens, that doesn't warrant a report, you are never going to leave your child alone with somebody that makes them uncomfortable.
Have the parents' fears changed at all in recent years because of all the homeless people and the drug addicts and just the crazy people? And there seems to be more, a lot of random incidents happening. Are you addressing that specific kind of problem, or is it pretty...
Right.
Go ahead.
No, that's a good question. And the dynamics have certainly changed, but in terms of how that impacts children's safety, it's kind of the same. You know, children are vulnerable when they're alone, and they're vulnerable when they're alone with older people that we may trust. So giving them skills that apply to a variety of situations really comes down to that voice, giving them permission to be rude, that they don't have to be nice to somebody who's scaring them, that there is a line with charity, right? We want to be understanding and caring about people, and mental health is a crisis in this country. That is for real. But it is not our job, and it is certainly not a child's job to fix it, right? Their number one job is to keep themselves safe. And you give them that context, and it gives them some safety around navigating our ever-changing world.
All right, Erin, we appreciate your all of your work and the organization's work over the 20 years, the Joyful Child Foundation. Thanks for talking to us again. It's joyfulchild.org to find out more about their events and to donate and their programs. Congratulations on 20 years, and what an organization you have helped build.
Thank you so much. You guys take care.
All right. Good to hear from you again.
That is Erin Runyon. It was 20 years ago this past summer when her daughter Samantha was abducted, and she was found dead 60 miles away on a hiking trail 10 days before her 6th birthday. And Erin has devoted her life, a good portion of it, to the Joyful Child Foundation in memory of her little girl. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right. The Joyful Child Foundation, they have done remarkable work in these 20 years, and it's a wonderful way for Erin Runyon to devote her life to her little daughter, Samantha, who was abducted and murdered 20 years ago this past summer in Orange County. I was right, or so it appears. One of the stories that broke late last week that got a lot of attention is that there was a car buried on the property of a $15 million mansion in Atherton, California. Apparently, some landscapers came to this home. It's a 12,000 square foot mansion to do some work, and they're in the backyard digging around, and they realized, uh-oh, clink, there may be a car here. And sure enough, they dug up a car, a Mercedes, and of course, immediately, attention focused on the possibilities of a dead body. Well, the cadaver dogs came and they picked up the scent of perhaps human remains, but the update is no human remains yet. However, we did find out that the man who used to own that property is Johnny Bakhtun Liu, a man that has a history of murder and fraud. He died in 2015, but one of the stories about him is that he one time had a yacht sunk for insurance money. So we found out that he reported the car stolen in 1992 from the Stanford Shopping Center, and he collected $87,000 from insurance for it.
$87,000 in 1992? What kind of Mercedes was this?
Very high end.
But yeah.
I don't know if it was brand new, what year it was, but the San Mateo County DA revealed that today. It was it says the convertible Mercedes-Benz was nearly new. It could have been. It is $100,000 is a lot for a car in 1992, even high end. It's nothing today for a Tesla, but in 1992.
But that would be worth probably double that now.
Yeah, maybe it was some sort of, convertible classic design that would be very expensive and desirable. Now, they're still wondering why the cadaver dogs continued to pick up the scent of human blood or bones over the weekend when the Mercedes was towed away, but they have still found no signs of any human remains. They excavated the car completely. It was buried with the top down and loaded with bags of cement.
Because he was accused of killing people in the past.
He was. It was strange stories, as I remember, that he was involved with. But
I just can't believe he'd go through the trouble of burying a Mercedes just for insurance money. Because you could make that car disappear a whole lot easier.
Easier, different ways, right?
I mean, you dig a hole for a car, you dig a hole for a body. I don't know.
He died in 2015 at age 77. He sold that property in 2014. While one cadaver dog might make a mistake with multiple dogs, it seems unusual, according to one of the investigators. We're going to try to find out any trace DNA or blood or anything like that around the car or with the concrete that's in there. He agrees with you, John. The simple story of insurance fraud doesn't add up. The Mercedes was no more than a year old or so when Liu reported it stolen. If he collected the insurance, the amount he paid for it, what's the gain? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Did he buy the car like on lease or something? But then he wouldn't get the insurance money. He wouldn't get the money.
You could have somebody drive the car out into the woods or the desert and set it on fire. I mean, you know, it's a lot.
Oh, the investigator says, what if he bought it with something phony, like he was laundering money? Or something
right.
like that. It's kind of a complicated way
Usually trying to figure out why a crazy person does what they do is pointless. You know, they're crazy. They're not acting rationally. But it's just so much work to dig a hole that big.
And you're right. In the 1960s, he was convicted of second-degree murder in the shooting death of his girlfriend in L.A. But it got overturned after problems surfaced with the evidence. In the 1970s, he served a short sentence for two counts of attempted murder, a short sentence, and in 1999 was charged with insurance fraud. And that's when he paid the agents money to sink his yacht.
Yeah,
I wonder how he made his money. He's got a yacht and a Mercedes, and I'm trying to figure out where he made the money.
How could he afford all that? I mean, he must have stolen a lot of money one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, with all the convictions he had, how's he going to have a job responsible enough to pay him that kind of money?
They thought he might have some mob connections or.
Yeah, you know, there's probably his whole life is a great story. That's really
his daughter said something, but she said that she didn't think it was anything criminal. His daughter is still alive and said something about him when she was reached.
Well, you leave a door open, everybody walks in. Conway and Thompson.
Ding dong. Ding and dong. work.
By the way, before we get into pitching what's on tonight, man, I listened to every day when you were talking about that Samantha Runyon and her mom. Her mom's name is Erin, right?
Erin, yes.
Man, I listened to every day 20 years ago. That was must-listen-to radio to get updates every day. I think, was it Mike Corona? Was he the sheriff?
He was sheriff.
Oh, yeah, good knowledge.
And then he got a little sideways.
Yes. He was America's sheriff for
That's
a while.
That's right, yeah.
He wanted Larry King, and Larry King said, this is America's sheriff.
That's
and
right.
Stuck.
Yeah.
And then
he ended up in prison.
Yeah.
He ended up in prison?
Oh, five and a half years, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Served time for corruption.
Man, I like that. Good old-fashioned dirty cops. I like those guys.
Yeah.
What did he do? What did he do to get thrown in the...
I think it was it bribes, John, or something?
Wow. He was indicted on federal corruption. He used his office for personal gain.
Well, what else are you going to use it for?
Yeah, I thought that's the American way.
Yeah.
We use the show for personal gain.
He also had a mistress, something to do with his...
And that's illegal now?
Huh? But I remember you better get out of here.
I'm working on
it. You better hit the road.
I distinctly remember him up on a cliff saying, this is all of our daughters. And that was really moving when he talked about her.
Oh, yeah. That's
No, there was a reason he got so much attention.
They were talking about him for governor and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
The man could give a speech.
Remember, we went to lunch with
him. But apparently could also take a bribe.
We did. We had a lunch with Mike Corona. Yes.
Is that when the downfall started?
They were.
Yeah, maybe. We recorded it. Yeah. Good.
That's wild, man. You guys should be very proud of that, though. I mean, it was everybody tuned in to get updates on that. It was the worst summer ever. Powerball winnings, on a lighter note here, are up to $700 million.
Yeah, I got to buy tickets again.
Yeah, you got to buy tickets, whatever. McDonald's announced that the McRib is back on the menu for a limited time, which is cool, right? All of our listeners are just eating fast food.
Yeah. Mark?
The McRib. What is in the McRib?
Mark loves
it's
it.
Not, it's no...
I heard a pretty good line about the McRib. You know, they said they were going to take toys away from the Happy Meals because it entices kids to get that meal, and it's not really that great for them. And they said because McDonald's is very concerned about their patrons. And the guy said, well, if McDonald's was really concerned about their patrons, when the McRib is out, they'd put a 5-point harness seatbelt on their toilets.
Oh, gee. Mark is waiting for the McHale. Are they coming out with a McHale sandwich?
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? I just say McNo all the time to everything. Everything on the
You know McDonald's doesn't have a salad anymore?
They did have it for a short time. They've,
for a while.
Well, they mixed it.
Who goes there for a salad?
Salad.
Yeah, but that's when they started to admit that their food wasn't great, when they introduced the salad. They should have never introduced the salad.
Yeah, I had it a couple of times. Wasn't bad.
I love McDonald's. It's my favorite place to go. James Corden addresses his craziness in the restaurant, and we'll play that audio. I guess you can't get crazy.
I went to that restaurant last summer.
What is it? Is it...
Balthazar.
Is it Russian food?
It's a high-end steak place, I think.
Yeah, it kind of is, right.
Any good?
I had like a breakfast omelet because I was there in the morning.
Did they make your omelet properly?
It was, that's what his complaint was.
Yeah, that's right. I think his wife's
I don't remember any problems there. I sat outside on the sidewalk. It was nice.
You didn't throw it at anybody?
Someone had told me to go there, so I went there, but
he got the blowback and he apologized, but in the interim, a bunch of other restaurants have come forward with people who've had bad experiences with James Corden.
Oh, is that right?
So all of a sudden it's like, no, dude, you're not done with the one apology. Yeah.
He complained about the McRib, I understand.
All right, Conway,
let's go.
That's how you tie it all in.
We love it.
KFI, KOS, both of them. Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.